This is Houston Matters. I'm Craig Cohen. Good morning. Coming up this hour, revisiting the ethics of AI, your gardening questions, and what a threat against an Astros pitcher and his family says about the state of sports fandom. But first, to growing concerns over staffing at National Weather Service offices around the country, including in the Houston-Galveston office, fewer than 3 weeks now before the start of hurricane season. The National Weather Service provides daily forecasts and critical real-time warnings during severe weather events, including tropical storms, and nearly half of National Weather Service forecast offices nationwide have significant unfilled openings, at least 20% vacancy rates prompted by job cuts and early retirement offers. The Houston-Galveston office itself is short three key leadership positions and currently has no meteorologist in charge. The last person to hold that office was Jeffrey Evans, who recently accepted early retirement. He tells Houston Matters producer Mincho Jacob about the Weather Service's current challenges.
For the office here in Houston-Galveston, we serve pretty much all of Southeast Texas, from Matagorda Bay up through College Station, Madisonville, a fairly large area, but we have sister offices around. There's an office in Lake Charles, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Dallas. We all do the same kind of things for the counties and communities that we serve. Then above that, there are some national centers, you know, like the National Hurricane Center, the Storm Prediction Center, some that have national responsibilities, but they only do particular hazards. You know, we all work as a team to basically try to communicate the same things and make sure that public are aware of the risks and threats over the next few days or even maybe seasonally when it comes to active weather.
We're seeing some staff shortages across the country here in our own office here in Houston-Galveston, some leadership changes. What is going on? Why is this shuffling of leadership, this shortage going on, do you believe?
So there were some staffing shortages even going into the election cycle. Some of those had to do internally with the hiring processes, and then also with just the overall budget shortages. So we had a little bit of staffing shortages going into the new president's administration. But after that, we did have a hiring freeze put in place. And then they started rolling out early retirements. And that's where I got involved in that. And also my other managers. We lost a warning coordination meteorologist and a science officer. So the three of us oversaw basically the operation for the local office. But we were all in our mid-upper 50s. And ended up taking the early retirement offers. So what that ended up doing is leaving a void for local office leadership for the office here for Houston-Galveston that our regional headquarters is just trying their best to fill by rotating in other meteorologists in charge from kind of the area here, one from Corpus, we'll do a few weeks. Norman, Oklahoma's meteorologist in charge will come down for a few weeks. So from my understanding, that is how they're going to fill those in the short term until we can get a permanent hire behind me.
There was a letter that some of our local congressional representatives sent to the administration, Donald Trump, saying there's a staffing crisis and asking for some answers. Is this a crisis? Is there potential for loss of services that, you know, the general public might feel at some point?
I know the agency is trying to minimize that. So some of the short-term fixes might be, you know, dropping some of the products and services that may not be as important and focus the staff mainly on things like watches, warnings, the aviation forecast for the airports, some of those things that are really critical, the flooding forecast and things like that. We really shouldn't see any degradation in any of those really core important services. But there may be some things, you know, we used to do a lot more going out into the community and then going to public fairs and public safety outreach is what we call it and things like that. That's where we'll probably see more impact until we can get this hiring freeze unlocked that was put in place by the administration and start to get some hiring going. You know, in the government, you know, even when you have an opening, it's not just a fast process to hire. We have, you know, laws and rules we have to follow. So it's going to take several months, even if we unlock the hiring freeze at this point, to start getting some of these critical positions filled. They're looking right now also, I believe, at transferring some people out of regional or headquarters positions that are qualified for some of these management jobs. So that's another way that they might be able to fill something a little faster.
Space City Weather reported that NOAA is in line for a $1.3 billion budget cut in the White House's proposed budget for 2026, specifically stating that they're cutting climate-dominated research in favor of weather observation. Can these be separated? Is it not looking at the full view if we do that?
Yeah, and that's a complicated question. You know, obviously there's some research activities that perhaps are less of a priority than others. And, you know, when it comes to ongoing weather observations, watches and warnings, and certainly are more critical. And so I think that's what they're talking about, trying to keep and do more of. But it is difficult because if you cut research too much, you know, the research is your future. We're still not where we need to be, obviously. You can just ask everybody, is the weather forecast perfect? No, it's not. And we know that. And a lot of that is because we need better science. We need better instruments, computing systems. And that all comes through investments in research. That's the problem. When you cut those kind of things, what are you going to be your impacts long term? And that's something we don't know right now. And that's what certainly makes a lot of folks nervous, and understandably so.
You were talking about the hiring freeze. If there is this big, you know, $1.3 billion budget cut from NOAA in general, do you think that would still allow for those kind of positions to get filled, the leadership ones at least?
I believe at the local level, those positions would be deemed critical, especially the Houston office now, you know, being so short as it is, those would be critical hires. The issues will be restructuring the headquarters, restructuring the training operations and things that are not responsible for single warnings for the agency. So those are the things that would probably see most of the cuts. But again, that's some ways that's short-term thinking, because if you start cutting training and headquarters positions too much, that can trickle down eventually where you don't have the training and knowledge that you need to go forward beyond what you have today.
Hmm. Like, I'm thinking of like Hurricane Helene or Milton at the end of last summer that, you know, they were very surprising. I felt like I read a lot and heard from meteorologists that we're not quite expecting those storms. Is that the kind of thing that we should be thinking about and worrying about in the work of the NWS, of NOAA, and funding that kind of research and development?
I think it needs to be, you know, a consideration for sure. I mean, we're seeing in the Gulf of Mexico really since 2017, you know, we're seeing a major hurricane, a Cat 4, Cat 5 on an almost annual basis. And that's, you look at the climate record, that's exceedingly rare. Typically, you know, prior to that period in time here, 2017 on, you know, we would see a Cat 4, Cat 5 in the Gulf, you know, once or maybe twice a decade. Now we're getting in them annually. So anytime you start looking at cutting an operation that's already pretty short-staffed, you know, I understand the mentality and people wanting to, you know, let's not spend money on things we don't need, but we've got to be really, really careful with what we cut. You know, there are some government services, particularly tornado warnings, hurricane warnings, things of that nature that we as a society have gotten used to. We're not really ready to have that switch turned off right now as a society. And you know, and that's not being proposed, but there are some that think that, you know, we can just keep cutting and cutting and cutting. And, you know, at some point, you know, you get a steak, there's only so much fat you can cut that you start getting into the meat.
Like right now, do you feel the general public is safe and covered for, you know, as we enter hurricane season right now?
I think so. I think the people in Southeast Texas can still feel rest assured that even though we managers aren't there, the core team that actually issues those warnings and produces those forecasts, they're still there. And they're still very, very dedicated. Folks that get into meteorology in general do it because they love the weather. But they also want to make sure that the public feels safe and well-warned. Those teams are still going to be in place. You know, we just have to be careful going forward how much we really start slashing and cutting. And those are things that, you know, the congressional leaders here that serve our area here in Houston are, you know, starting to ask those questions to make sure we don't get too extreme with this.
That's Jeffrey Evans, the now retired meteorologist in charge at the Houston Galveston office of the National Weather Service. His former position is one of many unfilled as the Weather Service prepares for another hurricane season, which begins on June 1st.